We've been going through, for our visitors, we've been going through Psalms 119 and working our way through it. I think it's the sixth lesson now I've done on it, trying to get through. It's a long chapter. And Psalms 119 is a chapter, is a poem about God's law. It's a poem about the various things about, aspects about God's law and why it's so wonderful for us. But it's done as an acrostic. We've mentioned this before. Each of the sections of Psalms 119 all start with the same letter. And it's done by eight verses at a time. Each of the eight verses all start with the same Hebrew letter. It doesn't show up very well in English. Our words are spelled differently than their words. So we don't see it, but it is there. It's not the only acrostic in the Bible. There's quite a few of them. But one of the things I noticed when I was studying about this particular one is I ran across several charts that talked about the meaning of the Hebrew letters, because a lot of the Hebrew letters have names, and unlike our letters, these names actually have meaning. Now, all of them do, but a good number of them. And the older style of writing Hebrew, which I'm not very good at writing, new or old style, but the older style of writing Hebrew, oftentimes the letters had a representation. They were actually glyphs. They were actually kind of like hieroglyphics, where they represented something else. And so we were working through that. We are up to Psalms 119, verse 145. And the letter for this particular section is Quaf. And that letter, pardon my lousy Hebrew writing, but that letter basically looks like something like that. And it's spelled Quaf. And the letter is, the glyph actually represents the rounded back of a skull. So if you look at the back side of somebody's skull, that rounded side, that's what it's supposed to represent. It can also represent the back of an axe, which is sometimes called the ear of an axe. It's got that rounded section back there. In fact, the root word, there is no actual word of quaff in Hebrew, but the root, if it's used in another part of a word, it refers to a circular motion or going around. So all of it carries this idea of something circular in it. And perhaps that's what the psalmist had in mind when he was writing this, because he talks about basically the circle of the ear. If you think about it, then it's got a rounded edge on it. Take a look at Psalms 119, starting with verse 145. It says, I cried with all my heart. Answer me, O Lord. I will observe thy statutes. I cried to thee, save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies. I rise before dawn and cry for help. I wait for thy words. My eyes anticipate the night watches, that I may meditate on thy word. Hear my voice according to thy loving kindness. Revive me, O Lord, according to thy ordinances. Those who follow after wickedness draw near. They are far from thy law. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. Of old I have known thy testimonies, that thou hast founded them forever. So if we want to put down what quaff actually means, it refers to the something as circular. And in this case, what I think he was referring to is the circle of the ear. And if we want to put a title to the section, listen, I cried. Because this is what it's about. He's asking God to listen. It's a cry to God to listen and to save as this writer looks through God's Word. He talks about the fact that there's a cry in the morning, starting each day with leaning on God. Take a look at Psalms 5, starting with verse 1. Psalm 5, starting with verse 1, it says, "Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my groaning. Heed the sound of my cry for help, my King and my God. For to thee I do pray. In the morning, O Lord, thou wilt hear my voice. In the morning I will order my prayer to thee and eagerly watch." And that's the idea. There's cries out to God, and then he waits to hear God's response. In Psalm 130, Psalm 130, starting with verse 1, he says, "Out of the depths I have cried to thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thy ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul does wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than the watchman for the morning, indeed more than the watchman for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is loving kindness, and with him is abundant of redemption, and he will redeem Israel from all his iniquities." And he goes on to say that not only does he start the morning with crying to the Lord, waiting for God's answer, he says even through the night, he's persistent in crying out to God. Take a look at Psalm 63, starting with verse 1. Psalm 63, starting with verse 1. "O God, thou art my God. I shall seek thee earnestly. My soul thirsts for thee. My flesh yearns for thee. In a dry and weary land there is no water. Thus I have beheld thee in thy sanctuary, to see thy power and thy glory. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise thee. So I'll bless thee as long as I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul is satisfied with the marrow and fatness, and my mouth offers praises with joyful lips. When I remember thee on my bed, I meditate on thee in the night watches. For thou hast been my help, and in the shadow of thy wings I sing for joy. My soul clings to thee, thy right hand upholds me." And that's the idea here, a crying out for God all day long. A constant meditation on God, a constant waiting for his answers to our pleas. One of the best ways to learn Psalms, because Psalms are songs, I was trying to pick out songs that go with each of the sections. So we're going to sing song number 261. Song number 261.
My love, new ride in the arms of Never blessed Lord, to thy precious living God, that a death of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea, that a heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with thee. Draw me nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious living side.
In our next section, which begins in Psalm 119 on verse 153, the letter here that each of the verses start with is Resh, and it looks something like this. And we spelled it out as Resh. And Resh has actually three meanings in Hebrew. The most common meaning is that it refers to the head, or figuratively, to lead or to go first. In fact, you can see it in Psalms 119, verse 160. It says, "The sum of thy word is truth, and every one of them is everlasting, and every one of thy righteous ordinances is everlasting." It's that word resh is actually the word there that's sum or entire. It's the whole of it. And it comes from the fact that it means to go first. So therefore that's the whole of it. Resh also, the same word, if you just change the vowel sound slightly, it becomes Rosh. Still spelled the same in Hebrew. Hebrew is spelled with consonants, and so you can change the vowel sounds and still have the same word. But that's a poison plant. And you can actually see that reference as well in this section, in verse 155. It uses the word Rosh there, because it says, "Salvation is far from the wicked. They do not seek thy statutes." The word there for wicked is poison. It refers to the poisonous plant. And Rosh also can refer to poverty or to the poor. In this section, the psalmist is speaking about his afflictions and his persecutions, because the wicked do not heed God's word. And therefore he needs to be rescued, which is found in God's teachings. Starting with verse 153 then. "Look upon my affliction and rescue me, for I do not forget thy law. Plead my cause and redeem me. Revive me according to thy word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek thy statutes. Great are thy mercies, O Lord. Revive me according to thy ordinances. Many are my persecutors and my adversaries, yet I do not turn aside from thy testimonies. I behold the treacherous and loathe them, because they do not keep thy word. Consider how I love thy precepts. Revive me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. The sum of thy word is truth, and every one of thy righteous ordinances is everlasting." What we find here is a plea. It means head or first. But what we find here is a plea to be revived from affliction. The Lord upholds, we know, the downtrodden. He helps those who need help. In Proverbs 22, starting with verse 22, Proverbs 22, starting with verse 22, says, "Do not rob the poor because he is poor, or crush the afflicted at the gate, for the Lord will plead their case and take the life of those who would rob them." God watches out for the poor, the downtrodden, the afflicted, and he will take care of them. And what we also learn from the New Testament is that God watches out for us, that we have an advocate with our Father. In 1 John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, and in verse 1, it says, "My little children, I'm writing these things that you may not sin, and if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the one who takes up our case. He is the one who watches out for us. Satan may afflict us with sin on every side, but Christ pleads our case, and he will rescue us." In our psalm book, turn to song number 208. Song number 208. "'Tis a grand endeavor the angel wrought, 'tis a grand endeavor the mortal dark, 'tis a grand endeavor that the world has hung on. God is able to deliver thee, he is able to deliver thee, he is able to deliver thee. Though by sin or wrath go to gamble, rest our God is able to deliver thee. 'Tis a grand for a mortal's dread, 'tis a grand event of a world again. God is able to deliver thee, he is able to deliver thee, he is able to deliver thee. Though by sin there's a grand event, let the tide roll to the guilty heart, to the simple soul. Look to God in bed, he will make thee whole. Our God is able to deliver thee, he is able to deliver thee. Our next letter, we're getting down to, towards the end, starts in Psalms 119 and verse 161, and it's the letter Shin, or Sin. They actually have one letter that has two different sounds, and it's written, I can do this well, like this. And if it's sin, they put a mark up above it. And And if it's over here, on the shin, it's considered one letter, depending where they put the mark at. And the word, or what it's supposed to represent as far as the glyph goes, is supposed to look like a row of teeth. It's actually for teeth. And the Hebrew word, I should write it down, it's either sin or shin. And what it's supposed to look like is a row of teeth. And the word shin means a tooth, but it's also the root word for sharpening. Whether you're talking about sharpening a weapon, or you're sharpening your words, saying sharp things to somebody, or if you're even sharpening your mind, it's the same root word, same idea, shin. And what we find here is the psalmist finds awe, joy, peace, hope, and these type of things in God's word. And so he finds himself being sharpened by God's word. Starting with verse 161. Princes persecute me without cause, but my heart stands in awe of thy words. I rejoice at thy word as one who finds great spoil. I hate and despise falsehood, but I love thy law. 7 times a day I praise thee because of thy righteous ordinances. Those who love thy law have great peace, and nothing causes them to stumble. I hope for thy salvation, O Lord, and do thy commandments. My soul keeps thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I keep thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. So again, if we put a title to this as being sharpened by God's word, being improved. There's always a cause of joy in God's word. Jeremiah mentions it in Jeremiah 15. Jeremiah 15 and verse 16. It says, thy words were found and I ate them. Thy words became for me a joy and a delight of my heart. For I have been called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. How often do we approach our Bible and reading God's word and following its testimonies, and we try to treat it like a school book? Oh, I got to read that thing again. But the psalmist is telling us, no, we should ought to treat this as something of joy. This is such a benefit to us as hearers of God's word. This is such an improvement to us. We ought to find joy. We ought to find excitement. We ought to find comfort in it. Turn to your song books to song number 568.
Savior, teach me day by day. Teach me all thy steps to tread.
Look a little familiar because there's several other letters that are almost alike. And that's Tav. Sometimes you'll see it spelled T-A-W instead of T-A-V. W's in German is the V sound, so it's sometimes used that way. But Tav, which makes a T sound, by the way, is the word, the Hebrew word for mark, or brand, or sign. So this letter means a mark. In fact, in the older way of writing Tav, it almost looks like our X, which we sometimes, back in the old days, people, when they couldn't write their names, would put their mark down. And that's where Tav gets its name. In fact, sometimes it can mean a cross as a signature. Here what we find is the psalmist wants the things which he says to mark him as being someone who's been chosen to follow Christ, follow God. So in Psalm 100. 19, starting with verse 169. Let my cry come before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. Let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. Let my lip utter praise, for thou dost teach me thy statutes. Let my tongue sing of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. Let thy hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. I long for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. Let my soul live with it, let my soul live that it may praise thee, and let thy ordinances help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. So as I said, it's a desire to be marked for service. He strayed, he sinned, he understands, but he still keeps God's commandments in mind. We have to remember, Christ died because we were straying. Take a look at Isaiah 53 and verse 6. Isaiah 53, verse 6. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us have turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. We've all gotten ourselves lost. But we have a brand on us. We have a mark on us that says that we belong to Christ. He sought us out to die for us. And what the psalmist also expresses, the desire to return to his owner. We, like lost sheep, returning to our shepherd. Take a look at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 25. Oops. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 25. For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your soul. See, we were marked, we are sealed as belonging to God. One of the verses in 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19. It says, nevertheless, the firm foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are His. And let everyone who names the name of the Lord abstain from wickedness. It ought to be our desire to please our shepherd. We ought to want to follow God's laws, because those laws mark us as His people. Turn to song number 542. Song number 542. This lesson was useful to you. There's a lot of ways that we can look at God's Word. We look at a large number, 22 different ways that the psalmist listed out, of ways that we can look at God's Word and appreciate the things that God has given to us. But it means that we have to actually look at it, we have to study it, we have to think about it, we have to apply it to our lives. We'd like to offer an opportunity, if there's anyone here tonight who's not a child of God, there is no better time than right now to put on Christ, to start following after His words and following after His teachings and seeing the benefit in your life. If there's anyone here who is a child of God, would like the prayers of the brethren on behalf, why don't we come forward as we stand and sing the psalm of Solomon.